We're now going to go to Kevin Farmer, who I've got on the line. How are you doing, Kevin?
Hi, Darren.
And so today we've got about 10 minutes left, and what I wanted to sort of jam about, and this is something where Leah's gone back. She may be participating, but she's back in front of the Twitter feed there, so if anyone has any questions or comments or concerns about this conversation, feel free to interact live by sending us a message at Twitter. But the message that I got here was Now Magazine talking about whether or not e-bikes should be allowed in bike lanes. And I thought this was a particularly interesting issue because while it may seem sort of like a small issue, apparently, especially if you're a driver of a car, but they've sort of fallen in between the cracks. I mean, the city of Toronto was not specifically, and most cities were not designed for heavy bike traffic to start with. So the issue of bike lanes has been an ongoing one. We've had Toby Bowers, who's sort of participating via email today, sent me a response to this article because he was unable to join us live. Toby Bowers is the director of Bike Chain here on the campus for the University of Toronto. And a general round all around, I don't know if he wants to be called an expert, but I'm going to go ahead and call him a bike expert and advocate. And it's sort of interesting because, you know, while we're getting all this sort of kerfuffle about, you know, where there should be bike lanes and how many bike lanes, there's other issues, too, which the coming up around whether or not e-bikes should be let in. And the reason I thought this was an interesting issue was it helps redefine the lines a little bit of the conversation, in my opinion, in that, you know, where do you put the dividing line, I guess, you know, between are we talking about alternate lanes for alternate environmental more environmentally friendly transportation to help encouraging it? Are we looking at ways to declog congestion on roads? Depending on how you sort of come to the problem, there's a whole lot of different answers. And I wanted to, we'll start with sort of what you had to say about your reaction to the article and to Toby's comments as well a little bit. Just about, you know, sort of, I mean, I guess a good place to start is this even a real issue? And what is your opinion on yes or no if e-bikes should be allowed in bike lanes?
Well, I think, So I am a cyclist and I am a motorist and I am a pedestrian, and I think I've got a pretty good view of the issues about how I know how difficult it is to drive in traffic and how stressful it is. I know how difficult it is to navigate Toronto on a bicycle, and I know how dangerous it can be to step off the curb as a pedestrian. I can understand why cyclists don't want anything else in their lanes because they fought long and hard to get what they've got, which is not nearly enough. Like, we, you know, first of all, there's an inadequate supply of cycling lanes as it is, and they're not connected, and there's no sort of cycling thoroughfare through the city to get you to, you know, major destinations without having to leave the safety of the cycling lane and you know, sort of barge into traffic. So I can understand why cyclists don't want anything else in there, but when it comes to these some of these e-bikes, they have very low speed limits, and some of them are required to not exceed 32 kilometers an hour, which is not enough to keep up with traffic in some cases. So in their case, I would say it's dangerous for them to be driving in regular traffic. If they can't keep up, people are going to be trying to find ways to get around them, and that just leads to lane sharing, which is extremely dangerous for whoever is on the two-wheeled vehicle. If you take the motorcycle driving course, they teach you how to drive defensively, and it includes the concept of the blocking position. You'll notice motorcyclists often ride far to the right or to the left of the lane that they're in, and it is. You'd expect them to be just sort of driving straight down the middle. When they're not, they're off to either side, and there's a reason for that, because they're in the position that has the greatest chance of discouraging a car from sharing the lane with them, and it's different for different circumstances. I won't go into the details, but to drive defensively on a motorcycle, you're taught the blocking position, and in different traffic situations, it's a different position, and it's usually to the left or to the right of the lane that you're in. And I've never seen any e-bikes or scooters using their blocking position. They're always far over to the right, possibly because they're not fast enough to match traffic speeds. And that just encourages everyone to share a lane going around them, and that's extremely dangerous. I wouldn't want to be on an e-bike or a scooter under those circumstances. So, you know, if they're speed limited, I would say they deserve the safety of the bicycle lane. One side comment though is that not all of these forms of transportation are actually environmentally friendly. Scooters that run on gasoline, for instance, are by no means environmentally friendly. They're extremely polluting vehicles. They're very small. They don't have the pollution mitigation equipment that you'll find in a modern car.
And I don't know about people in other cities, but in Toronto, I see with maybe the frequency of one a month. So not a ton, but something that I've seen regularly enough that there's definitely more than just a couple of people that have them, which is sort of homemade scooters with what look to be like gas lawnmower engines strapped on the back and stuff like that. And those are some of the most polluting engines that exist. So, I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, that should be a fine.
I'm pretty sure that those are illegal, but it doesn't seem to stop people because I've seen dozens of them for sure, at least if not more. I think one of the things I wanted to kind of get at, though, was a little bit was sort of the sort of classification issue that gets brought up here, because there's a whole bunch of ways to decide whether or not something could share in this kind of, you know, if you call it a bike lane, then it sort of seems to imply, presuppose that nothing else should be in that lane. But if you sort of call it alternative transport lane, that opens up a bunch of other possibilities, and it depends what you want to classify as it, right? So it could be pedal powered or electric only, but no, you know, with speed limits and no gas. You could say that the only things allowed in there are things that are people powered, but then that opens up the issue of, okay, well, does that mean that wheelchairs get to use the alternative transport lane? If you're going to include anything with just two wheels, then do motorcycles get to use it, you know, with a size? And so I just want to sort of impress the idea upon people that this is a far more sticky issue when you're actually getting down to, you know, to get from the concept stage to get to the actual law stage. There's a lot of sticky issues that need to be decided on, and I think there's a lot of stuff that just hasn't been defined. However, I would like to make the case that I think an option, I haven't made up my mind on this issue, and it doesn't sound, Kevin, like you necessarily have 100% made up your mind on it either. But one thing I'd like people to think about as well is that if you're talking about, like, for instance, in the city of Toronto, where it's been very, you know, we've been fighting tooth and nail for every inch of bike lane that we've gotten, and sometimes, unfortunately, they've been reversed after the fact to waste even more taxpayer money. That's a separate issue. But the idea of, if you, you know, a lot of the time the argument for this is, will they be enough, you know, is there enough actual use of them to justify having the bike lane? And, you know, depending on which numbers you look at, you know, people like Toby would say there's more than enough. Other people who have different priorities and different interests might say there's not nearly enough to justify taking away space from cars, which is how they're looking at it. But if you start adding on all these alternative transports, and sort of the alternative transport under that umbrella learns to kind of work together, you could definitely have much more of a critical mass, right? If you start grouping all the people on bikes with all the people on e-scooters, with all the people on this, with all the people on that, to skateboards and stuff, now all of a sudden you've tripled or quadrupled the number of people that can use these lanes, then maybe you'll have enough support for it to get tons more bike space, you know. So I'm sort of permanently undecided, I think, at this point on whether or not this is a good idea. I think depending on how you go about it could be a great idea, but what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think I'm still sort of leaning towards, you know, the speed limit of the vehicle that can use it. You know, if you can match traffic speeds, then you should probably be in traffic. I believe there's certainly more than enough usage of these lanes, and I think more people would use them if they were interconnected. And that's, you know, one of the biggest arguments is that, you know, like you said, there's this argument that they put in bike lanes on streets and no one uses them, but you know, the larger picture is that a cyclist just doesn't want to take any kind of long trip through the city that's going to involve driving with traffic. And unfortunately, that's the case here, because none of our bike sort of nexi are connected. They're all just independent. You'll find a bike lane on a street, and then it just ends with no connecting bike lane.